So good. What a declaration to God when we can say single-mindedly, I want to be focused on you and you alone. And I hope you understand that our worship just didn't end. Our time of worship didn't end. That we continue to worship through the Word of God, through fellowship. Our life is worship. And so when we sing those songs, when we pray those songs, when our hearts are compelled to sing those lyrics, to say, Lord, single-mindedly, I want to focus on you. It was ordained that that song to be sung this morning. It wasn't by happenstance. As we look at Paul's letter in Galatians, as we finish up, as we wrap up, that Paul was a man that was single-minded, focused on Christ. That was his mission. And that we'll be singing about the broken pieces being put back together. Paul sang that too. But in those circumstances, he was focused. He said, Lord, allow me to be single-minded. Allow me to be focused. So that I can live a life that is rooted in the gospel. And that it's not rooted in my circumstance and in what's going on around me. And that I don't shift. That I fix my eyes on Christ, for He is my prize. And so this morning we'll be in Galatians chapter 6. We're going to finish up 11 through 18. It's where we'll focus. But as we think about Paul's resolve, as we think about his conclusion, as we think about his final statement in this letter, let us be reminded that there are three sections that Paul wrote. There was a personal section, there was a doctrinal section, and then there was a practical section within this book. Chapter 1 and 2, chapter 3 and 4, and chapter 5 and 6. And so when we look at these, listen to what Paul says in the first section as he has his personal testimony to the church. He says, Paul, an apostle, not sent from man nor from the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And then going down to verse 10, he says, For I am now seeking the favor of man or of God? Or am I striving to please man? If I were still trying to please man, would I not be a bondservant of Christ? For I would have you to know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is Paul's testimony to the Galatians people. And he ends in chapter 2 with the famous 2:20, and he says this, I have been crucified with Christ. And this is his conclusion. This is his personal defense and his testimony. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. It's not the life which I now live in the flesh, but I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me, and I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. Paul woke up every moment with a mission. And it wasn't to live for himself. It was to live for Christ. It was to breathe Christ. And he says, For Christ has been crucified in me. And he goes on in chapter 3 and he says, Oh, foolish Galatians, what are you doing? You've turned from that. You've turned from your first love. And this is the section where he gets into the doctrine and he defends the gospel of grace through the Scripture. And in chapter 3 and verse 2 he says this is the only thing I want to find out from you. The only thing. There's one thing I can find out. He says this in verse 2. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? What a reminder. What a reminder not only to them but to us. To get out of that mode of self-seeking, self-achievement, and to fall under the footstool of grace. Can we be a people? Can we be a generation that does that? I pray that we aren't like the Galatians, that we don't return to our ways, but we fall in love with Christ in His ways. We fall under His grace. And then in chapter 5 and 6 is the practical section. And Paul says this in verse 1, chapter 5. He says, "For it was freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subjected again to the yoke of slavery." Don't put the yoke of slavery around you. We understand that's a yoke that was pulled by the oxen, and that's heavy. He's saying there's a lot of heavy burdens that you entangle yourself with every day. He said Christ came to set you free. He's given you freedom. He didn't give you another list of rules to follow, but He gave you freedom. And then he goes on in verse 16 in chapter 5 and he says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit is good, so good. And we will learn how to gratify the Spirit and not the flesh. We will learn to be in step with the Spirit so when we make decisions in life, they're good. And even when they turn out how we don't want to, guess what? They're still good. All things are created for good. And so God can use anything for His glory. So walk in the Spirit. And then we come to chapter 6. And in verse 11, Paul writes this. "See with what large letters I am writing to you, with my own hand. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, simply so that they will not be persecuted by the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have the circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, though which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And those who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. For now, from now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear in my body the brand marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen." And so the first part is this. The first part in chapter, in verse 11, look with me, and it's Paul's inscription. He says, "See with which large letters I'm writing with my own hand." At this point, Paul took the pen, just like he would do in many other letters. We see it in 1 Corinthians, we see it in Colossians, we see it in Thessalonians. So what he did, he took the pen from his scribe, and he writes this. He pens this last section himself. And he says, "See with what large letters I'm writing to you." And this with large letters would have mean, some scholars would say that Paul was tired at this point, and so he wrote in uppercase. Some say that he did that to distinguish to the Galatians, that it was actually his writing and that his scribe wasn't writing it, that he penned it himself. But then some scholars would say that he was just afflicted. He was at his end. And it was so much easier for him to write in a larger print so that he could see it. Because he'd been beaten, he'd been bruised, he'd been battered. And so even in this situation, even in Paul's position, he still takes that stand. He says, let me pen this last bit. Let me pen this last letter myself. And so Paul, in this moment, writes these letters and he says in verse 12, "Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh tried to compel you to be circumcised, simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ." I love this last part. When we look at verse 12, look at that last part. He says, "Simply so." And how often is this true in our lives? "Simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ." How many times have we stepped back Because we're scared of some persecution. We're scared of what someone may think, what someone may say. And he goes on to say this in verse 13. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. They're people pleasers. And Paul's trying to warn you about the adversary. We face a generation of people pleasers. We do. Within the church, within the business world, whatever it may be. But more importantly, what Paul is saying is that what is right, stand for what is right in the truth of God. And don't shy back. Don't be people pleasers because it sits well with your neighbor. What your neighbor needs is the gospel. Sometimes that don't sit well. And so Paul, at his end, when he's having to write because he can't even see in larger print, says, don't be a people pleaser. Don't make a good showing of the flesh. Look what Acts 15:1 says. It says, some men came down from Judea and began to teaching the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And this is what Paul says in Galatians 1. He says, for I am now seeking the favor of man or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. I wouldn't be persecuted. We'll read later on, I wouldn't be branded. I wouldn't be marked by Jesus Christ if I were a people pleaser. If I surrendered to the Pharisees, if I surrendered to the thoughts of this world and this society, that what's good for you is good for you and what's good for me is good for me. The Judaizers were men pleasers. They were afraid of persecutions and they boasted in their own accomplishments. If you fall on that checklist, I pray that you seek God's grace and mercy and allow Him to change you from the inside out. Allow Him to do a work in you that glorifies who He is. And so the legalistic knew that the offense of the cross would be softened if they could change the viewpoint of the Galatian people. If they could convert them to their ways, that the offense of the cross would be softened. They could say, oh, look at them. They're with us now. How much weight does it hold that they believed in this Jesus, yet now they're following us? They're being circumcised. And so the legalistic view, the Judaizers, they were sneaky. They were sneaky. And they were trying to convert those so that the cross would be weakened. And then Paul says this in verse 14, he says, but may it never be that I would boast except on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is the circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation, but those who will walk by the rule, by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon Israel of God. Listen to what Paul says. He says this, I declare that my boasting is what? Found in the cross of Christ. Christ alone. The cross speaks of the atonement of Christ in which Paul identified was this. It says, by which the world was crucified to Paul and he to the world. Galatians 2:20, for I have been crucified with Christ, no longer I live, but Christ lives within me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, and love, who loved me and gave Himself for me. what does this mean that Paul was crucified to the world? What does that mean? What is Paul saying? I've been crucified to the world. And we understand the cross, that it was a means of atonement. It was a mean to put away, to do away with. And Paul says this, he says, for I've been crucified to the world. So what he's saying is that to their systems, to their fleshly displays, to their religions, to their ways, I've been crucified to that, so it's no longer of use to me. It's been done away with. And I to the world. And in verse 15 he says, neither the circumcision or anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. The view of the cross of Christ and believers, our new position, is that it's no longer an outside appearance, but it's an inside appearance. This is our new position here. He says it doesn't matter if you've been circumcised or not. It doesn't matter. He says that there's a new creation in us. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you're taking notes, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, the new things have come. We don't need the systems of this world anymore. We don't need the religiosity of this world. We need Christ. So Paul's saying the outside appearance is of no use to you anymore. And this is Paul's practical defense. Remember that? This is his practical defense. He's saying practically, it doesn't matter what you do. You can't somehow raise yourself to a higher level to please God. He's saying live within the freedom that Christ has given you in the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Stay in step with the Spirit. And you will gratify the Spirit of God and not the flesh. You no longer need the systems of the world. But you need the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit within you. And He will lead you. And He will teach you how to love. He will teach you how to serve. And I love this in verse 16. He says, those who will walk. He's saying, look, those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Peace and mercy from God is available to those who walk according to the Spirit of God. Walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. And this blessing is pronounced even to the Israel, even to the Israel of God. Some believe that the Israel of God is the church, but the evidence here does not support this conclusion. Three reasons. The first is this, is the repetition. When we see upon or to, it indicates two groups, two views here. Also, the second one is that 65 other times in Scripture, when Israel is mentioned in the New Testament, it refers to the Jews. So it's singling a group out. It's not the whole church here. And third, Paul refers to two kinds of Jews. Look at Romans 9:6. You don't have to turn there, I'll read it. It says, but if it was not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descendants from Israel. Paul just put them in two groups here. So what is Paul saying here at the end when he says in verse 16, he says, those who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon Israel of God. What he's saying is that peace and mercy to all those who follow Christ. All of those who can follow Christ. Israel, Jews, Gentiles, it doesn't matter. If you're going to surrender your life, peace and mercy to you. To you. And so Paul demonstrates this mean in this benediction here in verse 17 and 18. With his deep love and concern for Israel and the Jews and the Gentiles who had come to Christ. And he says in verse 17, from now on, let no one cause trouble to me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirits, brethren. Amen. In verse 17, Paul, calling as an apostle, the message he preached to be challenged by the Judaizers. And he asks for the end of the trouble And he says this as final proof. He says that the marks of Jesus on my body. What did Paul mean by that? Because marks showed ownership. What marks are we carrying? What ownership are we under? We branded by Christ, the sufferings of Christ, or are we people pleasers? We branded by this world. Do we bear the marks of a gospel-rooted living? Or are we legalistic? Or are we putting on an outside appearance of facade that makes us look good? Did we check off our list this morning? Did we walk in here with a preconcepted thought of how worship should be? Is the music going to be good? Are they going to play my favorite song? Is that guy going to teach forever because I got to eat lunch? Whatever it was, right? We've done it. I've been there. Or did we come in full surrender and say, God, have your way. I want to honor you. I want to lift you up. I want to be with the family of God, the people of God, worshiping the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, so that I could be changed from the inside out, so that my life would be a living gospel. I hope that's how you came this morning. And I think that's Paul's heart in this letter. And as he ends, and he says, grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. It's neat if we look at that ending, we look at his benediction. It's the same way he started the letter. It's the same way he started. As the band comes up, let me read this. Galatians 1, verse 2 and 3 says, to the church of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Starts with grace, it ends with grace. It's all about Christ. It's all about being rooted in a gospel that changes the world and not us. We're tools and we're vessels, and God will use us in a mighty way if we surrender, if we walk in the spirit of freedom. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Apostle Paul as he penned this letter to the Galatian church. And Father, I pray, God, that sometimes in our mind we think and we wonder, how in the world does this apply to us? God, it applies in every way possible. And so, Father, I pray that just as Paul did, that we live a life that personally reflects the grace of God in us, that we live a life that tells our grace story, that we share with those around us the change in our life because of you, because of the cross, because of the life you live, and the death you were raised from to give us victory. Father, I pray that we use Scripture in a way that glorifies you and not ourselves. Father, that it's not selfish. And Father, I pray practically every day we walk amongst this world with a vision for the gospel to change lives. That we don't put on a facade, we don't try to be holier than thou. Persecution comes, and when the uncomfortable times come, we can still lift our hands and we can say, you are good. And when we don't understand, we can say, you are good. And when we suffer, say, you are good. And when we are blessed, Father, I pray that my life and in our lives. It could be a picture of what Christ has done and what He is continuing to do in our lives. As we work hard, fixing our eyes on the prize and pushing forward so that Christ's name is known, that it's His renown and not ours. Love you.